This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, one of the major topics of Parshas Matos, Perek Lamed Beis, is the situation where the B'nai Gad and the B'nai Reuven, who the Torah said had great amounts of cattle, Mikne Rav, Otsum Me'od, and they see the land of Yazer and the land of Gilad, and it was a land of pasture. And the Torah says the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven came to Moshe, and they came to Elazar, and they came to the Nasiim, and they said, Atarois, Divine, Yazer, Nimra, Cheshboin, El Ole, by the way, Savam, Nevoi, Va'oin. It's a land of pasture. So they present the following deal. They said, give us the land. So Moshe says to them, Negon, Ne Reuven, your brother should fight in the war, and you're going to hang out here and enjoy the grass of Eber Le'Yarden? That's not right. You're going to rest, and your brothers are going to fight for you? So they said, no, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make pens for our cattle here in Eber Le'Yarden. We're going to arm ourselves. We're going to go at the head of the army. We're going to fight with our brothers. And we're not going to come home. We're not going to return to our homes until we assist our brethren in inheriting Israel proper. So Moshe Rabbeinu says as follows. If you do this, if you arm yourselves and you pass in front of them and you help them inherit the land and you help them conquer the land, then v'yisem nikiyem e'ashem umi Yisrael, and you'll get Eber Le'Yarden. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says the converse, right? You're familiar. Moshe Rabbeinu makes a double t'nai. He says, v'im loy ta'asun kein, if you don't do this, then you're going to be sinful and your sin will find you. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu makes what we call a t'nai kafal. And the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, they consent and they agree. And all of a sudden, at a left field, in the 11th hour, Vayitein lohem Moshe levnei Gad v'levnei Reuven v'lachatzi shevet Menashe. What do you mean, chatzi shevet Menashe? Where'd they come from? They were never mentioned in these dozens of psukim in this whole conversation back and forth, where the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven had a lot of cattle, and they tell Moshe, we want this land. And Moshe says, not right that I should give you this land, and your brothers should fight, and you should have it easy. So the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven said, no, we're going to arm ourselves, and we're going to help our brethren, and if we don't do that, then we won't get the land. There's no mention whatsoever of Chatzi Sheva Menashe. All of a sudden, at the end of the game, in the bottom of the ninth, it says Moshe Rabbeinu gave to B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven, and Chatzi Sheva Menashe, Mamleches Sichoin, Mamleches Oig. And the Achroinim ask, why was no stipulation made with Chatzi Sheva Menashe? This is a question of the Meshech Chachma. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, as well as the Brisker Rav. Yeah? Good question, no? It's worthwhile to come, you saw, instead of throwing fireworks on your rooftop today, it's worthwhile to come to hear this question. You hear the question, Shlomo? Where did the Shevet Chatzi Shevet Menashe come from? Moshe Rabbeinu only made a deal with B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, and the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven accepted the deal. So it says Moshe gives B'nai Gad and to B'nai Reuven and to half of Shevet Menashe. He never spoke to half of Shevet Menashe. They weren't involved at all in this whole conversation. Where did they come from? They came out of nowhere.
And about B'nai Reuven and B'nai Gad, they didn't have chalek in Eretz Yisrael?
They did have a chalek in Eretz Yisrael, but they were swapping it for the Eber Le'Yarden.
Right. I mean, it's Zayn. My question is Zayn.
No, this was their chalek. This was
their chalek. Yes. Their full chalek. Okay.
So let's start with the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma says that even though no T'nai was mentioned by Chatzi Sheva Menashe, he says something very interesting. The Pasuk says that Moshe gives to God, Reuven, and to half of Menashe, Eretz, Sichon, Va'oig. But first Moshe stipulated with Reuven and Gad. So if Moshe first stipulates with Reuven and Gad, and then he gives Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Sheva Menashe the land, the stipulation holds true for everybody who he gave the land to. Once Moshe Rabbeinu made a t'nai with two of the Shvatim, and then he gave three Shvatim the land, the t'nai is effective for all three Shvatim. Says the Meshech Chachma, if you look in Perek Hamadir, the Gemara says like this in Ksubas, if you're Mekadesh one woman al t'nai, you say to one woman, I'm a kaddish you on condition you put meat in the cholent. Don't pull a power of cholent on me. And then that's what he tells Sprinza. And then to Yenta he says, I'm a kaddish you, and he doesn't make any tanai. There's an opinion in the Gemara. He's Makadish, the second woman, al Tanai also. Kidsha Rishoina al Tanai, the Kidsha Shnia Stam. The original Tanai stands for the second one. So too, says the Meshech Chachma. Moshe Rabbeinu made a Tanai with Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. He then gives the three Shvatim the land. For sure, the Tanai will help for all of them. He says, if you look in Sefer Yehoshua, now if you look in the Chumash, nowhere does it say there was the Tanai was in effect for Chatzishe Menashe. It just says Moshe gave to Chatzishe Menashe land. Nowhere does it say he made a Tanai. But if you look in Sefer Yehoshua, it says the Tanai was applicable for all three Shvatim. Fine. But then the Meshech Chachma says an amazing thing. He says it could be a Tanai, a double Tanai wasn't necessary for the Chatzishe Menashe. Think about what Moshe Rabbeinu said to Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. He said, if you arm yourself and you go ahead of your brethren, you'll get the land. And if you don't arm yourself and attack for your brothers, then you won't get the land. Moshe Rabbeinu made what we call a Tanai Kafal. Says the Meshech Chachma, could be the laws of stipulation were not needed for the Chatzishe Menashe. Why? The Gemara, the Yushalmi says in Kedushin, what if you say to a woman, not I marry you now on condition you put meat in the cholent. What if a man says to a woman, Hareya Mikudeshes, after it rains. I'm giving you money now, and we should be married after it rains. Obviously, it's only Kedushin if it rains. And you don't need the laws of a Tanai. You don't have to double it. You don't have to say, and if it doesn't rain, I'm not marrying you. Because since you made a stipulation, since you said, the Kedushin will only be after a certain occurrence, obviously, the Kedushin won't be Chal until that occurrence happens. It's when do we say you need to double the Tanai? That's when all the conditions are already fulfilled right now, where you're making it happen now. If you're making something happen now, then you have to fulfill all the laws of Tanai. You have to say it both ways. If A, then B, and if not A, not B. But if you say it should only be Chal after a certain period of time, then you don't have to follow the laws of Tanai. It's implicit that the matter will only take effect when that occurrence happens. And the Gemara asks, what do you mean? B'nei Gad and B'nei Ruvain? B'nei Gad and B'nei Ruvain, Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you go ahead of your brethren and you attack, then I'll give you this land. And if you don't go ahead of your brethren and attack, I won't give you this land. So doesn't that mean that even though it was going to happen after Moshe Rabbeinu had to double the Tanai? And the Gemara said, no. The land that Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain wanted, they were standing on it. They had it already. They were there. They're looking at the land. Yazer, Nimra, Sava, all these lands that the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain were after, Ataroiz, Diva, and Yazer, Nimra, they didn't have to conquer it. They were there already. So they're standing on the land. So they're saying, give us this land. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll give you the land if you arm yourself and you go ahead of your brethren. And if you don't arm yourself and go ahead of your brethren, I won't give you the land. There, what they wanted was already in effect, was already present. So since it was already present, they had to follow the laws of stipulation, and they had to say it both ways. However, says the Meshech Chachma, the Chatzi Sheva Menashe, they didn't conquer their land yet. They wanted a little bit of a different land. The Psukim say, after this, after the Bnei Gad Ruvain took Atarois, Divoin, Yazer, Nimra, Cheshboin, Elole, Yair ben Menashe and Machir went, and they conquered additional land. So for them, what they wanted didn't occur yet. So they don't have to follow the laws of the Tanai. There it's going to happen out in the future. So therefore for them, obviously, since it didn't happen yet, so Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I'm not going to let you take that land unless you go ahead of your brethren and you fight for your brethren. You see, the land of the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven was clear and was in front of them. They were standing on it. They had it already. So for that, in order to, so to speak, conditionalize whether they could keep it or not, Moshe Rabbeinu had to follow all the laws of Tanai. That if they attack for their brethren, they could keep it. And if they don't attack for their brethren, they can't keep it. But in terms of the Chatzi Shev Menashe going out and conquering a land in the future, then it's obvious. Moshe Rabbeinu could say, I'm not going to let that happen unless you follow what my conditions are. And those conditions I don't have to spell out according to all the minutia of how Hilchos Tanai works. That's how the Meshech Chachma understands why the Tanai is not mentioned for the Chatzi Shev Menashe. The Brisker Rav.
So it's like somehow.
In other words, if a man says to a woman, I'm going to marry you when it snows.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to say, and if it doesn't snow, you know, if it doesn't, I'm not going to marry. He said already that it's dependent on a future occurrence. So if it's dependent on a future occurrence, it's completely linked to that future occurrence. You don't have to spell out all the various, in every, if yes, yes, if no, no. But if the item is here, like the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven were standing on the land, and they say, give us this land, and Moshe says, I'll give you the land if you go ahead and attack with the rest of Klal Yisrael. So then the Tanai is not effective. Moshe Rabbeinu had to add, and if you don't help your brethren, you can't have this land. Because since they were on it right now, and it was here in front of them, and they were had possession of it already, in order to qualify that, Moshe Rabbeinu has to follow all the laws of Tanai. And the laws of Tanai that we learn out from B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven is you have to say, if you do A, then you can have B. And if you don't do A, you can't have B. Because there, B is in front of them. But if a man says to a woman, I'm going to marry you after it rains, then it didn't rain yet, so then he doesn't have to spell out all the laws of tonight. That's the Meshech Chachma. The Brisker Rav says something else. The Brisker Rav is also bothered. This is in Brisker Rav, the Chiddush Agri, the stencil. You have a stencil? Come here, check this out. See? You see how it's printed? It's like an old typewriter. Yeah? Show them the typewriter. This is a Brisker Rav's typewriter. You know, the original printing of Chiddushei HaGriz. He says, what would have happened if the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven didn't take Eivor LeYarden? Right? Let's say the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven wouldn't have woken up in the morning and said, you know, we like this land, Yazer, Nimra. Who would have gotten that whole land, the Transjordan? Who would have it gone to? The Jordanians? The Iran? Who would have got it? Who would that land have gone to if the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven wouldn't have taken it? It says, if they don't fulfill their Tanai, then v'noichazu b'soichem eretz Kanan. Like Ariel pointed out, if B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven wouldn't have fulfilled the Tanai, they would have gotten a share in Israel proper. So who would have gotten Eivor LeYarden? You have to say, everyone. It would have been for all of Klal Yisrael. Eivor LeYarden would have gone to all of Klal Yisrael, even to the Kaihanim, the Brisker Rav says. Because the fact that the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven got it, this was not a land that Hashem made a covenant with Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Lezaracha nosati es haaretz hazois. Lezaracha nosati es haaretz hazois was Eretz Yisrael proper. What would have happened to the Transjordan? Any Jew could have taken it. By the way, the Rambam says, at the end of Hilchos Shemitah and Yovel, that the Kohanim were only Zoiche in the lands that were Nichras to Avram Avinu. And therefore, Mitzad Hadin, the Kohanim, had to take Eretz Yisrael proper. Now, comes the story of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, and there was a chiddush. The chiddush is that the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven fulfill their Tanai. Namely, if they go and arm themselves and go at the head of the war, they could take Transjordan. But if they wouldn't fulfill their Tanai, then the halacha would revert back to the way it was in the beginning, that they would get Eretz Yisrael proper. And what would have happened to Transjordan? It would have gone to all of Klal Yisrael, and even to the Kayhanim. So therefore, since we're talking about land that had no covenant, there was no covenant made between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael that this land would go to Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. It was no man's land. So if Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven want to have this land in exchange for the divinely ordained land that they're supposed to get, they have to go through all the various halachas of how to make a tanai. That if they arm themselves, they get the land, and if they don't arm themselves, they don't get the land. However, the land that Shevet Menashe took was Eretz Oig. And it says in Devarim, Hahu yikare Eretz Rephaim. Who, Eretz Rephaim? God gave that to Abraham. Eretz Rephaim was the one area of the Ever LeYarden that was given to Abraham. That means there's a bris on it. That means this land, Mitzad Hadin, was part of the distribution of Israel. Oh, if it's part of the distribution of Israel, well, to who? So Menashe said, you know what? We'll take this part. This part that was part of the general allocation to the Jewish people, we'll take this chelek. We don't want to make a goyral. The rest of Eretz Yisrael, they made a lottery. Yehuda took this, Binyamin took this, Shimon took this. Menashe said, you know what? We want to skip the lot. We'll just take this. And I'm sure everyone will agree, because this little spot, which was supposed to be allocated as part of the whole lottery, you see, originally when they made a lottery, this land would have been part of the lottery. So they said, you know, we'll just take it straight up. So since it was something that was divinely ordained from the beginning, and it's Bechlal Eretz Yisrael, you don't really have to make a Tanai. So that's how the Brisker Rav explains it. That the land that Chatzi Shevet Menashe took was not the no man's land that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven took. They took Atarais, Divine, Yazer, Nimra, Cheshbon. That's no man's land. That's in exchange for the divinely ordained land that was the land of their destiny. Now you wanna swap the land that the Ribbono Shel Olam had ordained for you for some no man's land? Okay, we gotta follow all the contractual minutia. But the Chatzi Shevet Menashe, they're just trying to take something that's part of what's ordained. And they were saying, you know, let's make this easy. Probably none of the other Shvatim want Eretz Yisrael that's on the other side of the Yarden. Let's take it without a Goyral. Fine, so Moshe Rabbeinu says here, take it. You don't have to follow the laws of Tanai when it comes to that, says the Brisker Rav. Okay, so these are two approaches to explain why Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven are singled out in the laws of Tanai, and yet the Chatzi Shevet Menashe was given land in that area as well. Okay, have a great day, everyone. Bracha v'atzlacha. Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.